السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخ.
عبد الرحمن، how are you? هايس رمضان.
الحمد لله يا شيخ، أنا بارك الله فيك.
آمين فيكم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد، our book Al-Adab Al-Mufrad on these days of Saturdays and Sundays was authored by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah, Muhammad ibn Isla'il. In this book, we had discussed issues regarding our relationship with people, how we conduct ourselves, and how we relate with others. After that, Al-Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah started discussions about our relationship with Allah, issues of worship that we direct to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without an intermediary. One of them are issues of asking Allah for pardon, al-istighfar. Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah also told us issues regarding the manners when we make dua of al-dua. But here the discussions are about Babu Sayyid al-Istighfar, the chapter about the best approach, the best expressions. How best can we ask Allah for ghufran, for forgiveness? How best? What is the best way to say it, such that there is no better way than it? Imam al-Bukhari has captured those very good and efficacious expressions of istighfar under Babu we are talking about Babu Sayyid al-Istighfar. Before that glitch we just had, I did not know how it came about. But I think that you can hear me now. Can we hear me now, Ikhwa?
Now,
can
ya
we
Sheikh.
hear me now, Ikhwa?
Now, ya Sheikh.
I was talking about the chapter heading, Babu Sayyid al-Istighfar. And as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned a particular expression of istighfar as Sayyidul Istighfar. The Prophet himself named it Sayyidul Istighfar, the best way, the most potent and effective way to ask Allah for forgiveness. And that hadith repeats as hadith 617 and hadith 680. Sayyidul Istighfar, hadith Sayyidul Istighfar from Shaddad ibn Aus. It repeats as hadith 617 and as hadith 620. Where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Rabbi, La ilaha illa anta khalaqtani wa ana abduka wa ana ala ahdika wa wa'dika mastata'ti a'udhu bika min sharri ma sana'at abu'u laka bi ni'matika alayhi wa abu'u laka bi dhanbi abu'u laka bi ni'matik wa abu'u laka bi dhanbi. I am reading from 620 because you would note that a'udhu bika min sharri ma sana'tu, it occurs as the last expression in hadith 617. We mentioned this while we were discussing the slight difference between 617 and 620. So the dhikr is that Allahumma anta rabbi la ilaha illa anta khalaqtani wa ana abduka wa ana ala ahdika wa wa'dika mastata'tu a'udhu bika min sharri ma sana'tu abu'u laka bi ni'matika wa abu'u laka bi dhanbi faghfir li. Innahu la yaghfir, mentions this zikr as Sayyidul Istighfar. He said Sayyidul Istighfar an yaqul, the best way for an individual to ask Allah for forgiveness is for him to say Allahumma anta rabbi la ilaha illa ant khalaqtani Allahumma anta rabbi, O Allah, anta rabbi, you are my Lord. We explained these expressions in the previous class. La ilaha illa ant, there is no deity deserving worship except you, O Allah. Khalaqtani, you created me. Wa ana abduka, and I am your servant. Wa ana ala ahdika wa wa'dika mastata'tu, I am upon my covenant. What is that covenant? My covenant where I guarantee that I will not direct worship to anybody except you. And you also told me that if I don't see the pact we all have with Allah, if we don't join partners with Allah, Allah will not, but just bi'idhnillah, He will make us be from the people of Al-Jannah. Wa wa'adik, that is His promise. That was our covenant, and that is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The servant declares that he is upon this pact, and he is upon this promise. A'udhu bika min sharri ma sana'tu, I ask for your protection away from the evil that will emanate from what I do. A'udhu bika min sharri ma sana'tu, I ask for your protection. Protect me from the evil repercussions of my handiwork. May Allah protect us all. Abu'u laka bi ni'matika, I acknowledge and declare to you all your favor on me. I acknowledge it, to eat, to drink, to sleep, all these things you give me, I acknowledge it, O Allah. Wa abu'u laka bi dhanbi, likewise, I acknowledge to you that I have shortcomings, I have mistakes, you have limits that I had violated, either out of forgetfulness or mistakenly, or I even knowingly did out of my own weakness. So I acknowledge my sins, faghfirli, so forgive me, O Allah. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا أَنْتِ, because the fact is that لَا يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ, No one has the ability to forgive sins, you know, illa anta, except you, O Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called these statements, he called it what? Sayyidul istighfar, the best way to ask Allah for forgiveness. And then he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, man qalaha minan nahari muqinan biha. Anyone who says it's minan nahar, during the daytime, muqinan biha, certainly believing in it, in all the expressions, Allahumma anta rabbi, he believes so, la ilaha illa anta, he believes so, and he's certain that that is the truth regarding the matter. And he has this kind of belief and certainty of iman regarding everything that he has said. If this kind of a person dies during the day time when he has read this dhikr, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَمَاتَ مِنْ يَوْمِهِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يُمْسِيَ فَهُوَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. If he dies during that daytime, قَبْلَ أَنْ يُمْسِيَ, before he reaches the evening time, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, فَهُوَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. The recompense for what he did is that Allah will make him from the people of Al-Jannah. وَمَنْ قَالَهَا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ وَهُوَ مُوكِنٌ بِهَا فَمَاتْ, يعني فَمَاتَ قَبْلَ أَنْ يُصْبِحَ فَهُوَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. مَنْ قَالَهَا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ. Likewise, anybody who says it during the night time, وَهُوَ مُوكِنٌ بِهَا, while having iman and yaqeen, he believes in it, in everything that he has said, and he believes in the certainty of it, that these things are absolutely as I have said them. فَمَاتْ. And then such a person dies in that night before he wakes up in the morning. فَهُوَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such a person is from the people of Al-Jannah. Allahumma anta rabbi, la ilaha illa anta khalaqtani, wa ana abduka, wa ana ala ahdika wa wa'adika mastata'tu, a'udhu bika min sharri ma sana'tu, abu'u laka bi ni'matika, wa abu'u laka bi dhanbi faghfir li, fa innahu la yaghfiru dhunuba illa ant. It is worth that every one of us learns this expression, and it is very easy. It's also contained in Hisnul Muslim. The reading of these expressions is not now limited to mornings and evening. You can say it regularly. You can be making tawaf, going around the Kaaba. Allahumma anta rabbi, la ilaha illa ant, khalaqtani wa ana abduka, wa ana ala ahdika wa wa'adika mastata'tu, a'udhu bika min sharri ma sana'tu, abu'u laka bi ni'matika, wa abu'u bi dhanbi, wa abu'u laka bi dhanbi faghfirli, fa innahu la yaghfiru dhunuba illa ant. Going round the Kaaba. You can do that while going round As-Safa and Al-Marwa. You can do that at all times. You can do that while at Al-I'tikaf. Sit down in the masjid and you begin to recite this dhikr. You can do all of these at any time, but if you do it in the morning before evening, you have that reward. If you do it in the evening before the morning, you have that reward. If the person dies, for who I mean Ahl al-Jannah, may Allah make us all from the people of Al-Jannah. The other expression with which Al-Imam al-Bukhari followed this that we just mentioned was that was mentioned by Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. He said, Abu Abdurrahman, in kunna lana'uddu fil majlis lin nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we would, in a gathering with the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, in a sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will be counting rabbi ighfir li wa tub alayya innaka anta at-tawwabur rahim, rabbi ighfir li wa tub alayya innaka anta at-tawwabur rahim, rabbi ighfir li wa tub alayya إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. Like this, we'll be counting in a single sitting with the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم 100 مرة. We'll be counting the Prophet saying this 100 times in a single sitting صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. They will be in a gathering with the Prophet. As he spoke, somebody has spoke, somebody has said something. He was also making adhkar. رب اغفر لي وتوب علي إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. رب اغفر لي وتوب علي إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. Now back to the title of this chapter. Why was it brought under Babu Sayyid al-Istighfar? It was brought under the chapter about the best way to ask for istighfar. Because if it was not from the best ways of asking for istighfar, the Prophet would not stick to it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the way that he stuck to it. So sticking to it, repeating it in a single gathering 100 times, not in the whole day, alayhi salatu wasalam. Not in the whole, in one gathering we are with him and we are noting what he was doing. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Rabbi gfir li wa tub alayya innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Rabbi gfir li wa tub alayya. Oh Allah, forgive me. Wa tub alayya. Pardon me. Overlook my mistakes. Pardon me. Wa tub alayya. Guide me to be asking for tawbah. Innaka anta tawwabur rahim. You are the one who is absolutely pardoning. You are the one who is absolutely compassionate. In a single gathering, the Prophet will be saying up to 100. There are two persons that I know with this character as a human being. One of them, it was reported about him. The other one, I personally noted it about him. If you sit down in a gathering, he's always saying this. The time when I knew him, the first person it was said about that I know, that always, no matter where he was, if he was saying something, if he kept silent, and he said, if you look well, this is what he's saying. Rabbi ghfirli wa tub alayya innaka anta tawwab rahim. That was Sheikh Abdul Aziz ibn Abdullah ibn Baz. This was reported about him. He will sit down, once he sits down and he's not saying anything to anybody, he's saying Rabbi ghfirli wa tub alayya innaka anta tawwab rahim. Oh, astaghfirullah. And things like that. Sheikh Mumbaz. The second person is a brother we all will know, but I will not mention his name. He's also always used to saying this in his discussions with the people. Hafizahullah. May Allah protect him and make him a better person. Rabbi ghfirli wa tub alayya innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Ibn Umar said, we will be in the We, the companions, kunna in kunna lana'uddu fil majlisi lin-nabi. We would count in a gathering with the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. We would count him saying, Rabbi ghfirli wa tub alayya innaka anta tawwabur rahim 100 marra. He will do that 100 times. Likewise, our mother Aisha, radiyallahu anha, Ummul Mu'minin, قالت, she reported regarding the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, صلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم الضحى ثم قال, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم observed صلاة الضحى. Once the Prophet observed صلاة الضحى, ثم قال, then he said صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, اللهم اغفر لي وتوب علي إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. اللهم اغفر لي وتوب علي. I hope we have embedded this in our Salatul Duha observation. When we observe Salatul Duha, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the hadith of Abu Huraira, we read the hadith collected by Al-Imam Ibn Khuzaymah. Al-Imam al-Tabarani also collected. It occurs in the book At-Targhib wa At-Tarhib by Al-Imam Ibn Al-Imam Al-Mundhiri, Abdul Haq Abdul Azim Al-Mundhiri rahimahullah, and it was graded Hassan by Al-Imam Al-Albani rahimahullah. that la yuwadhibu ala salat duha illa awwabun. La yuwadhibu. No person will be la yuhafizu ala salat duha. No person will be regularly observing salat duha except awwab, a person who is repeatedly penitent, repeatedly asking Allah for pardon. If you're a person that always you're asking Allah for pardon, one of the things we will find about you is that you will be regularly observing Salat al-Duha. I think after I went to the last class, someone was asking me that he heard somebody saying that we should only observe Salat al-Duha sometimes. I said that hadith is a refutation for that view. I am well aware, since a long time ago, some people have that view, that Salat al-Duha is a Salat to be observing sometimes. Here in this hadith, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, la yuhafidhu ala salati duha illa awwabun. Nobody will stick to observing Salat al-Duha except a person who is always repeatedly asking Allah for pardon. And there are many other ahadiths. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us the reward. If you observe 2 units of Salat al-Duha, he told us what you gain. If you observe 4 units, if you observe 6 units, if you observe 8 units, if you observe 12 units, Allah will build a house for you in Al-Jannah. He mentioned them one after the other. He is not saying that so that you can be observing it sometimes and not observing it sometimes. So, ikhwa, stick to observing Salat al-Duha every day. As Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our mother Aisha reported that once he observed Salat al-Duha, and after that salah, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma gfirli wa tub alayya, innaka anta tawwabur rahim, hatta qalaha mi'ata marra. The Prophet was saying it. He was saying it. Hatta until qalaha mi'ata marra. He said it 100 times. What is that? Allahumma gfirli tub alayya. Innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Allahumma gfirli. O Allah, forgive me. Wa tub alayya. Guide me to ask you for pardon. When I ask you for pardon, pardon me. Innaka anta tawwabur rahim. You are the one who is absolutely pardoning, who is also absolutely compassionate. Allahumma gfirli wa tub alayya. Innaka anta tawwabur rahim. After Salat al-Duha, our mother Aisha reported that from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. We move to hadith 621, where al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, حدثنا حفص قال قال حدثنا شعبة عن عمرو ابن مرة عن أبي بردة سمعت الأغر رجل من جهينة يحدث عبد الله ابن عمر قال سمعت النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يقول توبوا إلى الله فإني أتوب إليه كل يوم 100 مرة. توبوا إلى الله فإني أتوب إليه كل يوم 100 مرة. الإمام البخاري has reported this hadith from one of his teachers, الإمام حفص ابن عمر ابن الحارث. حفص ابن عمر ابن الحارث الأزي أبو عمر. His name was Hafs. His father's name was Umar. So his kunya is what? Abu Umar. So you can have someone be Abdul Rauf. His father's name is Ibrahim. He can now have a kunya Abu Ibrahim. Here we have Hafs ibn Ibrahim. Hafsun ibn Umar, عن هيزون كونياي سوات أبو عمر الأزدي رحمه الله, from the teachers of الإمام البخاري رحمه الله, very very eloquent. Amongst the teachers of al-Bukhari رحمه الله, Hafs was a very eloquent person, very very eloquent with his handling of the Arabic language رحمه الله, very eloquent رحمه الله. So much that each time they talk about him, they will be saying that he is very, very eloquent. Fasih, rahimahullah. He said, Haddathana Shu'ba. He reported this hadith from his own sheikh, Shu'ba ibn al-Hajjaj, rahimahullah, who was reporting from Amr ibn Murrah, rahimahullah, from Abu Burda. Abu Burda is the son of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. We all know Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, that eminent companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Abu Burda, Samitu al-Agar, al-Agarru ibn Abdullah al-Muzani, al-Agarru ibn Abdullah al-Muzani. Abu Burda said, I heard Al-Aghar ibn Abdullah Al-Muzani, Rajulun min Juhayna, and he was a man from the tribe of Juhayna. I heard this man, Yuhaddisu Abdullah ibn Umar. I heard Al-Aghar ibn Abdullah, Yuhaddisu Abdullah ibn Umar. He was narrating to Abdullah ibn Umar, that Samitu Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yakul. I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam saying that, Tubu ilallah. O people, ask Allah for pardon. Tubu ilallah. O people, ask Allah for pardon. Ask Allah to overlook your mistakes. Tubu ilallah. O people, ask Allah for tawbah. Ask Allah for tawbah, O people. Fa inni atubu ilayhi kulla yawmin mi'ata marra. Because I ask Allah, I ask for his pardon. Kulla yawmin, on every day. Mi'ata marra, 100 times. There are a few issues here. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Tubu ilallah. O people, be regular in your asking Allah for pardon. So brothers, let us be regular to ask Allah to pardon us. Like we read in that hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar. He said, we'll be in gathering with the Prophet. I will be counting. Rabbi kfirli wa tub alayya. Innaka anta tawwab rahim. O Allah, forgive me. Watub alayya, pardon me. You are the one who is absolutely pardoning and absolutely merciful to his servants. So forgive me, Allah, forgive me. The Prophet was saying that repeatedly. And now he came to tell us to tubu ilallah. O people, ask Allah for pardon. Why was it that the Prophet was always doing this? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Was it because he was always sinful? No, it was not because he was always sinful. So why did he say we should be doing that repeatedly? Is it because we are always sinful? Well, it can be because we are always sinful, or that we may be falling short at all times, even when we don't know. So we need to be very regular in asking Allah for pardon and forgiveness, so that the ones we fall short not knowing, we have something, we have asked Allah to forgive us. So we have lots of forgiveness waiting for us. But there is a bigger response to that. The bigger response to that is that in the Quran, in many places, Allah commanded us to be asking for tawbah. It says, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. تُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا. All of you, be asking me for pardon. Meaning that whether you sin or not, one good act of ibadah is what? Asking Allah for tawbah. So asking Allah for tawbah is not just because of sin. It is in obedience to the various verses of the Quran, encourage us to ask for what? A tawbah. It's just like saying, make a lot of nawafil. If someone asks, is it because my sins are many? No. Making nawafil, you earn a lot of rewards from it. But as for asking for tawbah, if you have sins, it is one way to cancel them out. If you don't have sins, it is one day to accrue rewards of ibadah. That expression itself, Rabbi ghfirli wa tub alayya innaka antat tawwabur rahim, is a means of seeking nearness to Allah, is a means of reward for you, whether you have sins or you don't have sins. So asking for istighfar, asking for a tawbah with Allah, is not just about sins. It is about obeying that instruction in the Quran. Tubu ilallahi tawbatan nasuha, elsewhere. He said, oh people, tubu ilallahi. Ask Allah for pardon. Ask Allah for pardon. The other place said, wa tubu ilallahi jami'an ayyuhal mu'minun. Oh people of Iman, always ask me that to pardon you. I like you to be declaring your weakness to me. All of you. La'allakum tuflihun. So that you can be successful. That is reward for asking Allah for pardon. If you have sins, it will cancel out the sins. If you don't have sins, it is connected for you and compiled for you as rewards of good deeds. Why? You are calling on to Allah and declaring your weakness before Him. It is ibadah. You are declaring your weakness for Him. It is ibadah. Look at Sayyidul Istighfar. You always say, Allahumma anta rabbi la ilaha. Look at this statement. Allahumma, oh my Lord. Allahumma, oh my Lord. This is ibadah. You declare Allah's lordship and ownership of you. You declare it. You alone deserve that I worship. This is ibadah for you, whether you have sins or not. If you now have sins accruing for you, ikhwa, this kind of expression of asking for forgiveness, it's a means to cancel out the sins. So if you now don't have sins, and I'm sure you would not say you don't have sins, then it counts as rewards for you. Rewards for you, huge of real, heaps of rewards. Just like as if you are saying, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Nobody asks you, why am I saying this repeatedly? Is it because I have a lot of sins? No. When you glorify Allah, you earn rewards. So asking Allah for pardon, asking Him for istighfar, is not just about sins. Oh, because I have a lot of sins. No, it is just one of it. It is a major means of showing weakness, showing humility, and obeying and doing what Allah likes. Allah likes you to say, please forgive me. Please forgive me. Please pardon me. So He commanded us in many places in the Quran. أَفَلَا يَتُوبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ أَفَلَا يَتُوبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Should you not all be asking for pardon from Allah? وَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. Should you not all be asking Him for forgiveness? So that was why the Prophet, I will, because He's the leader of all the people of righteousness. So He's our leader also in terms of Salat. He's our leader in terms of Nawafil. He's our leader in terms of Qiyamul Layl, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's our leader in terms of good deeds, good character, good speech, avoiding sins. He's also our leader in this one too. Afalaya too. Should you not all, Allah is asking us, should you not all be asking for Allah's pardon? Should you not all of you be asking for His forgiveness? Wallahu ghafurur rahim. When Allah is al-ghafur, the one who is absolutely forgiving, and Rahim, absolutely merciful. Should you not now be asking, a person is absolutely forgiving and merciful. Should you not now be asking Him this command? The head of us in it is who? Rasulullah alayhi salam. So when we ask Allah for forgiveness, It's not just because we have sins. It's not just because we have piled up troubles. No. It's about obeying Allah, showing humility towards Him, declaring our weakness towards Him. The scholars even say that it is one of the ways to ask for things that are good for ourselves. You want goodness for yourself? Ask Allah for istighfar. You want children? Be making istighfar. You want to be rich? Be making istighfar. What is the evidence for that? It also occurs in the Quran. Nuh alayhi salatu wassalam. Allah told us what He was telling His people. فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. Nuh alayhi salatu wassalam. He said, I say, استغفروا ربكم. Ask Allah for forgiveness. إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا. Allah is the one who is absolutely forgiving. يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدَرَارًا. When there is drought and hunger in the lands, one way to ask for help from Allah is through istighfar. Let us note it now. When there is drought and hunger, one way to beg Allah, give us food, is through istighfar. In that verse in Surah Nuh, إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا. Allah will send down rain to you and stop your drought. وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ. يُمْدِدْكُمْ, He will expand your wealth. So if I need my wealth to expand, I need a lot of istighfar. Istighfar is not just about I have sins. You need wealth. There is hunger on the lands. There is drought. Make istighfar. You need money. Don't look for killers. Don't stop all of these. Stop going to Afar Jalabi. Don't go to Sele. Don't go to Baba Allah. We'll make istighfar to your Lord. يُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ. Allah will expand your wealth. Wabaneen. He will make you have many children. Because this means that having many children is a way of goodness. Allah will give you. And He had guaranteed you. نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُهُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ. Both the children and you, we feed you. We sustain you. And don't forget, when your istighfar is much, you say, يُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ. I will increase your wealth, so don't be afraid. If I have a lot of children, where will I take care of them? He has told you that He will give you a lot of money. If Donald Trump assures you now that relating with your wives, I will give you a lot of aid in millions of dollars, many people will start marrying today. This is Rabbul Alameen giving you this assurance. استغفروا ربكم إنه كان غفارا يرسل beneficial rains from where vegetation will grow ويمددكم بأموال وبنين. He will increase your يمدد مد. He will expand it, prolong it, make it the expanse. The أموال, your wealth will increase. Wabaneen, your children will increase. وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ jannat. He will make your plants, your gardens, your farms. He will make it grow. He will give you. وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ anhara. Your lands will not be dry. He will give you rivers. So asking Allah, اللهم اغفر لي وتوب علي إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. It's something that you can be saying if you need children. It's something you can be saying if you need wealth. It's something you can be saying if you are a farmer. You need rains. You need blessings on what you are doing. Be making istighfar. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to us in this hadith, the hadith of Al-Agarr ibn Abdullah al-Muzani, he was telling Abdullah ibn Umar, that Samitu Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam yakul. I heard the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that
توبوا إلى الله. Ask Allah for pardon. Somebody can say, am I been committing sins? We have heard many other benefits that will accrue for us, bismillah, when we regularly repeat asking Allah for pardon and for forgiveness. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, inni atubu ilayhi kulla yawmi mi'ata marra. Because even me, I always ask him for forgiveness, mi'ata marra. Ulama say he asks for that more than 100 times. He just told, give us a number, alayhi salatu wasalam, to let us know that I do it many times. It doesn't mean that much. Salatu dhuha, they count 100. So how many has he made one day? One single gathering, 100. When he observes Salatu dhuha, 100. See, just 100 times, meaning that many times. More than 100 times. So that you too, you not do less than 100. So he is our leader in that too. That instruction came to us from Allah to be asking for forgiveness and pardon. So, ikhwah, for the sake of Allah, let us all be full of asking Allah forgiveness and pardon. It's not just about I have a lot of sins. What is now wrong if it is because we have a lot of sins? In our own generation, we are reading WhatsApp messages that are not true. You are forwarding WhatsApp messages that are not true. You are looking at WhatsApp status. You are looking at videos. You see, you are watching news. Women are improperly dressed. There is hardly anything you want to do on the internet. You not find something you don't like. Regularly, when you walk on the street, you see things, you hear things. You even say things that when you say them, you come back to say, ah, why did I speak like this? So if the one who's been guaranteed forgiveness is repeatedly asking Allah for tawbah and istighfar, how about the rest of us? More so that we have many other things to gain from making istighfar apart from forgiveness. Some of them that we have mentioned in the class today. So ikhwa, let us follow the Prophet in this. Laqad kana lakum fi rasulillahi uswatun hasanatun. The Prophet is the best of the examples for all of you. So even in asking for forgiveness, even he that he had been forgiven, he is your leader in it. He does it than all of you. So he told us, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, tubu ila Allahi, O people, regularly ask Allah for pardon. Fa inni atubu ilayhi kulla yawmi mi'ata marra. Because I ask for pardon from Allah kulla yaw on any mi'ata marra, 100 times. He just mentioned 100. He does it more than 100. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Hadith number 622, so that we can end the chapter today. Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah said, Haddathana Ahmad ibn Yunus, Qala haddathana Zuhair, Qala haddathana Mansurun anil Hakam, An Abdirrahman ibn Abi Layla, An Ka'b ibn Ujra, قال معكبات لا يخيب قائلها معكبات لا يخيب قائلهن معكبات لا يخيب قائلهن سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر 100 مرة رفعه ابن أبي أنيسة وعمر ابن قيس الإمام البخاري رحمه الله said حدثنا أحمد بن يونس he reported that from his sheikh أحمد بن يونس very eminent from the teachers of Al-Bukhari, Abu Abdullah Al-Kufi, Rahimahullah. Once Al-Imam Ahmad was speaking about this Imam, Ahmad ibn Yunus, he called it Shaykh al-Islam. So when we refer to Ibn Taymiyyah as Shaykh al-Islam, they say, where did you get that? The A'imma in the past used to refer to very learned people who have spent the years of their life up to old age learning and disseminating knowledge and righteousness, they refer to them as what? Shuyukhul Islam. Imam Ahmad referred to Ahmad ibn Yunus as what? Shaykhul Islam. Rahimahullah. That's why people like Sheikh Abdulaziz ibn Abdullah ibn Baz, he was also referred to as what? Shaykhul Islam. These are world-known people who spent their time, their life, their money learning the religion and spreading goodness on the surface of the earth. They were upon that. They grew aged on it, learning and teaching the religion. Rahimahumullah. So they become called Shaykhul Islam. It is one learned person who will watch them and say, you deserve to be called Shaykhul Islam. So Imam Ahmad ibn Yunus, the teacher of Al-Imam al-Bukhari in his hadith, Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal gave him that nickname, Shaykhul Islam. He said, Haddathana Zuhair, well-known, Zuhair ibn Muawiyah, rahimahullah. He said, Haddathana Mansur, well-known, Mansur ibn al-Mu'tamar, rahimahullah. Anil Hakam, well-known, Al-Hakam ibn Utaybah, rahimahullah. He is reporting from Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla, well-known, Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla, from the A'imma of our religion, rahimahullah. He is reporting from Ka'b ibn Ujra, one of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ka'b ibn Ujra, some people say he was not a companion. This hadith is the evidence that he was a companion, radiyallahu anhu. Because the hadith also occurs in Sahih Muslim. And in the report of that hadith in Sahih Muslim, he expressly said, I heard it from the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What was it? He said, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam. Here he gave it mawkufan. He gave it as if he was the one talking. And they do that a lot. It is not everything we hear from our teachers, we quote our teachers when we say them. May be giving a lesson. I heard something from my teacher. When I want to say it, I will just say it. And sometimes before I say it, I will say, I heard from my teacher that, and then I say it. So this happened to Ka'b ibn Ujra regarding this hadith. So here it is his statement, as if he was the one talking. He said, rahimahullah, Mu'aqibatun la yakhibu qailuhunna. Mu'aqibat. The ulama say these statements are called mu'akibat. He said because they are kalimat, they are expressions. Yati ba'duha aqiba ba'din. One of them will come always after the other. Not just that. Li'annaha tu'watuf'alu a'aqaba salawat. We always see them immediately after salawat. Mu'akibat. Some expressions are called mu'akibat. Just like some expressions of istighfar are called what? Sayyidul istighfar. Likewise, some expressions are called mu'akibat. Why are they called mu'akibat? Two reasons. The first reason is that they come after one another. Okay, let me give us. It is just here. They're saying that subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. You see the way they come after one another? One of them following the other. Now, as they follow themselves, we also see them immediately after salat. They follow salat. Because of that, they are called what? Akibat. Things that follow one another. And they also follow salat. They come after one another. They also do what? They also come immediately after salat. What are those? He said, rahimahullah, mu'akibatun, la yakhibu qailuhunna. The one who says them repeatedly, la yakhibu, you will never go to the loss. You will never lose. You will never go bankrupt. If you say these expressions, la yakhibu qailuhunna, the one who says them never goes bankrupt. Ikhwa, these are things inside our religion. We'll be looking for nankali from us about. It's free in the books of hadith. Recommended to us by the Prophet Muhammad. Mu'akibat. Things that follow themselves, we also say them after salah. La yakhibu. He will not be in a loss. He will not go bankrupt, whether in this dunya and akhirah. La yakhib is general. Because this is a fail coming after an expression of an nafi. Is fail al-mudari after nafi ya'um. Is from the siga of umum. La yakhibu. Yani la yakhibu fi dunya wa la yakhibu fi akhirah. You will not go to a loss in this dunya. You will not go bankrupt. Wal akhirah. You will not lose on the day of qiyam. If you say these expressions repeatedly. So they are mu'akibat. You say them, they follow themselves. What are those? He said, radiyallahu anhu, subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. A brother had asked me before, is there wa in Allahu akbar, or we just say Allahu akbar? There's riwayah now. Wallahu akbar. Subhanallah. Walhamdulillah. Wa la ilaha illallah. Wallahu akbar. Somebody hears you saying, hey, Afa, why are you saying what you are saying? Say, I don't want to go bankrupt and I will never go bankrupt. Allah guarantees me I will never go bankrupt if I say them. What are those? Subhanallah. Walhamdulillah. Wa la ilaha illallah. Wallahu akbar. Subhanallah. Walhamdulillah. Wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. They are mu'akibat. These expressions come one after the other. And we read them a lot after salah. He said, la yakhibu qailuhunna. The one who repeats them regularly, la yakhib. He will not go to a loss. Say it 100 times. You can say it more than that. Maybe you are on tawaf. Maybe you are on as-sa'yu. Maybe you are just walking from the masjid, going home. Maybe you are just seated in the masjid, making adhkar. Say this zikr. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. In the report in Sahih Muslim, you say subhanallah 33, walhamdulillah 33, wallahu akbar 34. They come after salah. This is the way to say it if we say them after salah. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah. You say subhanallah, 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 33. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, 33. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, 34. As in the hadith of Ka'b ibn Ujra, radiyallahu anhu, and Imam al-Bukhari said, Rafa'ahu ibn Abi Unaysa. Ibn Abi Unaysa reported it as a statement where that companion said, Qala Rasulullah. He reported it marfu'an as a statement from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. I will say this. Al-Imam al-Albani said, Rahimahullah, Lam akif ala man wasalahu anhu. I have not found who reported it from Ibn Abi Unaysa with a linked up chain. I have not found it. But many scholars mentioned this report, like Al-Imam al-Nawawi, and long before him, Al-Imam al-Dawraqutni. They mentioned this report of Ibn Abi Unaysa. And he said, Wa Amr ibn Qais, that's Amr ibn Qais al-Mula'i. His own report occurs in Sahih Muslim, where Ka'b ibn Ujra directly said, I heard it from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, reporting it directly from him. Radiallahu anhu. This is the meaning of this statement from Al-Imam al-Bukhari. He has reported it here, mawkufan, as a statement from that companion, where he's telling us that there is a report by Ibn Abi Unaysa, and who? Amr ibn Qais al-Mula'i, that reports this hadith from the Prophet directly. There are more than two. Malik ibn Gual also reported it marfu'an. Lays ibn Abi Sulaym also reported it marfu'an. Hamza al-Zayyat also reported it marfu'an. Many people reported it marfu'an. So it is al-Bukhari just mentioned a few here. Those who reported it as a statement directly from the Prophet, I'm sure it's clear. Here, al-Bukhari mentions it as a statement from that companion. He now told us that it also occurs as a statement from the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibn Abi Unaysa reported it like that. Qais ibn Amr al-Mula'i also reported it like that. I'm now saying there are more than two who reported it as a statement directly from the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, wa humul jama'a. So the statement is authentic as a statement directly from the Prophet. Ka'b ibn Ujra heard it from the Prophet, but on this occasion when he narrated it, he did not ascribe it to the Prophet. It does not mean that it is not a statement from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I hope that it is clear. What are they? Mu'akibatun la yakhibu qa'iluhunna. The expressions that follow themselves that we repeat immediately after salat. La yakhibu qa'iluhunna. Anyone who goes saying them repeatedly, you will never go bankrupt and you will never be at a loss. What are they? Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. Subhanallah, you can be flying a plane. Instead of playing on the plane, instead of watching a movie, instead of just viewing things without direction, just randomly, be saying the zikr. Subhanallah. Walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. When you become tired, say istighfar. Rabbi kfirli wa tub alayya, innaka anta tawwabur rahim. I hope that we have a job now for the rest of Ramadan, inshallah. We can stop here. Bismillah, we'll continue from the next chapter in the next class. Aba Abdurrahman. There's a question here about the Rahman. It says, after Taslim, how do we count the 100 with our fingers? Our right fingers are the things that we should use. Employ your right finger. The small finger is 3. The next one is 3. The next one is 3. The entirety of your right hand is 15. So when you count your right hand 15, 15, 15, 6 times, that is 90. When you count 15, 6 times, that is how many? 90. And then you count 10 on the same hand, either by counting the small fingers, which will make it end at the top of the sababa, because the first 3 will give you 9, and the fourth finger, your sababa, your first finger, will give you the 10th one. You can count it like that, or you count the whole 5 2 times. So you count 15 6 times, and then you count 5 5 10 times, or you count 3 3 3 3 3 3 times and you add 1. Somebody will say it will be cumbersome when you are not concentrating. If you want to do it together with browsing, if you want to do this zikir, count 100 on your hand together while browsing, it will not be possible. But if you want to do it with full attention, I do it, sorry to say, I do it like this and I don't have any cumbersomeness. You count 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 15 on your right hand. You count 15, 15, 15, 6 times. Your mind will be fixed upon it. It's one way to help your attention and your concentration during the zikr. So you count that 15, 15, 6 times, and then you count 5, 5. That is 10. That's 100. I hope that it is clear. Now. Ameen, Abu Abdurrahman.
So a question here is, assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Please, if I may ask, He said the Prophet He said the Prophet وسلم, do more than 100 istighfar a day. Does this validate those that say they do register, they do 3,000 istighfar and order every day?
If you are counting it, somebody says 100. Firstly, it is clear when Ibn Umar said in one single gathering, the Prophet said 100. In another gathering that he went on that day, how many did he say? When he observed Salatul Duha, how many did he say? It validates, it shows that you can do more than 100. It shows that you can do more than 100 daily, istighfar. It shows that we are just a bit lazy in our own times. Istighfar more than 100, there is nothing that shows that it's not valid. The Prophet did not restrict it. He is mentioning me at Tamarra, it's not restrictive. Because there are other indications that show that he was actually doing more than 100. If in a gathering he did 100, after Salat to Duha 100, after Salat, when he says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, what does he say? Astaghfirullah, 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 three times, Adi, three times five, 15, that is another 15, add it to it. That makes you understand that he says istighfar more than 100 times daily. He only mentioned 100. We understand that the thing is to be said many times. So if an individual consciously on his own, he says far much more than 100, then it is rewarding. Some people say more than 3,000. They are not counting it. Only Allah knows the number. Their own is far much more than 3,000. So there's thoughts that what it says is that say it regularly. And if we understand this Arabic language a little bit, when he said tubu ilallah, it is endless. That verb tubu, be asking for tauba, it does not give a number to it. So if a person says, I should say, he is telling me, restricting me to 100, he's not doing me the good thing. He's not in position to restrict me. The person who should restrict us is the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So if someone gives you, say, be making istighfar 50,000 times, that one is not lawful. Why? You don't have the right to say, I should say it so number of times. You can say, I should say it any number of times that I am able to. So you don't restrict what the Sharia leaves open. Istighfar daily, it leaves it open. How many istighfar can I make a day? It is open. It is open, it's not restricted, except those ones that are restricted in particular occasions. For example, you want to say Sayyidul Istighfar in the morning because you directly intend that reward. If you say it once, you're already there. All others are extras for yourself, not restricted. So as you cannot restrict it, you cannot restrict it for somebody else. Why? The Prophet left it open, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To seek to restrict what the Prophet has left open is from the ways of innovations. Just like to seek to open up what he has restricted is from innovations. For example, after Salatul Duha, he says, say 100. Say the 100. Ta'at siyam bihi, by way of following the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. But if you now want to say more, you say more, but without a restrictive. I hope that it is clear. Why without a restrictive? Because it is clear from the various ahadith that the Prophet used to do more than 100. I hope that it is clear. Baba
Abdurrahman.
I mean, one, two, for Jazakumullah
khair. Can you advise someone that is suffering from depression since 2007?
Now?
It reads, please, can you advise you someone what? That... The question is, can you advise someone that is... Please, can you advise someone that is suffering from depression since 2017? But last week, she felt like killing herself. Alhamdulillah, she have people... who talks to her, she has people around her who talk to her.
Allahu Alam, my advice to such persons is that you will understand that this world is full of trials. And there is no trial you think you have that makes you think that you don't deserve to live, except that there are people living with it. If you have a trial that you don't have a child, there are many people living like that happily and they don't have children. They don't have any child. You say, oh, it is because you don't have money. There are people who don't have money at all and they are surviving happily. So take solace in other people's problems too. The fact that you are not in that problem alone. So make it be clear to you that it is something you can survive. Why? There are others. Their own may even be worse than your own. So you don't have a reason to feel that, oh, the only thing that is left for you is to commit suicide. Why? Allah firstly has prohibited suicide. And then this dunya is created as a place for trials. Your own job is to be patient in it and try to find ways out of the trials. When you find a way out of the trials, you'll be rewarded for it. You will live long. You'll be able to worship Allah. If you have children, you'll be able to take care of them. And of course, you'll be able to see what the future holds for your children. If you have a child, you want to commit suicide now. Do you know whether your child is going to become a pilot who will earn lawfully, take care of you? Do you know? You don't know. So if you kill yourself and your son becomes a pilot tomorrow, have you helped yourself? Have you helped your son? So take solace. Take solace in the fact that there is no problem you have except you have people who have bigger problems. That same problem, a bigger version of it, people have it and they are surviving. If you say you are indebted, you have debts on your neck. Some of the richest people in the world are the most indebted human beings. I'm sure that you know. If you have problems with debts, some of the richest people in the world, they also count as some of the most indebted people in the world. The richest country in the world today is the most indebted country in the world. And I'm sure if you start looking at Africa and Nigeria, maybe some of the richest people in Nigeria, you will hear their names. The most indebted people in the Nigeria passed away. When he died, a bank said that he was owing 9 billion naira. And this was a man everybody was running after, a rich man. Think your own debt was up to 9 billion. Your own debt may just be in the range of 1 person who has billions, a million. So why kill your son? He has not big factories, debt that allow riba managing life. So if it is debt, you should know that people are more indebted than you are. Let me share this my experience with you, and then I'll stop there, inshallah, after recommending one more solutions. A brother came to me one day. This is about 16 years now. A brother came to me one day, wallahi, feeling very depressed, sad. I was in the north at the time. He was sad, expressing, oh, I have problem, I have this. He counted all the problems that he was in at the time. And I was listening to him carefully and consciously, because he's a very learned person. He was expressing the problems, counting them one after the other. He now said the worst of them are his debts. I asked him that time, how much was it? He said 79,000 naira. I said, 79,000 naira is your biggest problem? He said, yes. Said, do you know how much own debt was at that time? I told him it was more than triple his own at that time. So I said, okay, so you advise me. He didn't know what to say again. Say, so you can't kill yourself. You can't kill yourself. Be patient. When he calls me now, if I mention this matter, he'll be laughing. He's now a big person, I mean, enjoying life now. He traveled abroad after that time, you know, things got better. If I mention this incident now, he will feel ashamed of himself. So if you say it is debt, there are people who have debt bigger than your own. They even be giving you sadaqa. You are accepting the sadaqa. Their own debt is bigger than your own. You may be thinking that they left you unhelped. You think they did not help you. They themselves need help. They have all only chosen to live above it and find goodness with life while you are thinking about killing yourself. So live up life. Life is good. Life is sweet. You don't know what tomorrow holds for you. The servant today is the king tomorrow. So why do you want to kill yourself today? So don't think about it. Don't forget, if you kill yourself, strangulating yourself, Allah will be strangulating you inside Jahannam. If you fell into Third Mainland Bridge, Allah will be dipping you into rivers inside Jahannam. Anybody who kills himself will be punished with the like of what he killed himself with inside Jahannam. So don't attempt it at all. It's not something to do. Then I recommend for you, I beg you in Allah's name, go and look for Quran, be reading Quran. Allah will remove your depression. Go and look for Quran, read Quran, read Quran, read Quran. Read Quran, be reading the Quran, be reading the Quran, don't stop. Bismillah, Allah will remove your depression. I beg Allah to help this person remove that depression. And those who are in such similar conditions, may Allah provide help, provide support for them. Provide mental support, physical support, social, economic, all the support they need to get out of the troubles that they are in. May Allah provide such support for them and help us too out of our own problems and out of our own solutions. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahmatan innaka antal wahhab. وزينه في فسوق وليسيان اللهم اجعلنا من الراشدين اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا من طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا اللهم متعنا بأسمائنا وأبصارنا وقوتنا ما بقيتنا واجعلها الوارث منا واجعل ثارنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عادانا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في الدنيا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم أنت ربي لا إله إلا أنت خلقتني وأنا عبدك وأنا على عهدك ووعدك ما استطعت أعوذ بك من شر ما صنعت أبوء لك بنعمتك علي وأبوء بذنبي فاغفر لي فإنه لا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.